I'd like you to turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. It is good to be here with you, and God has been very good to us over in the islands. We've been on the islands, in the islands for 31 years. I started out as assistant pastor and for 5 years, and then we went back to the mainland to raise support to come back and start Ohana Baptist Church. In Hawaiian, Ohana means family, and that's exactly what we are. Brother Larry Burris especially knows that because he was one of our former members. Also, Curtis is here somewhere, and Neil, and God has really blessed us over there. We just celebrated our 25th anniversary, and we had over 500 in our service that Sunday, and nowhere left to put them. And I wish I had time just to tell you all the things that God has done for us. For our 25th anniversary, people were coming up to us often and saying, well, it's amazing what God has done through you folks. And the truth is, God's done nothing through us. All we've had is the privilege for 25 years to be in the place God called us to be, watching God do the work. And that's what God's called you to do. God's not going to do anything through you. But Jesus is going to give you the privilege of being somewhere and watching what he does. And if you are faithful to be where God calls you to be, then you're going to see God do some amazing and wonderful things as well. And God has in our church, we're about 50% military. And that's what we originally went over there for. The greatest mission field, I believe, today is the military. These are men and women who have put their lives on the line. They're sacrificing their lives for our freedoms. And we need to tell them about the one who sacrificed his life for them. And along with that, they are open more so for the gospel. You know, going door to door in an area like this, people have lived here all their life. They've gone to the same church all their life. Their parents went to that church. Their grandparents went to that church. It's hard to make changes. But when they go in the military, everything in their life changes. The clothes that they wear, the hairstyle that they have, the language that they speak, it's all changed where they live. And so they're much more open to the change the gospel brings. It's one of the greatest opportunities to reach out to them. But God has also given us the privilege of working with the local population. We have over 30 different nationalities in our church, and which makes for some very, very good eating times. And we are Baptists, and we do like to eat. But it also makes for just what heaven's going to be like. I don't believe there's going to be any separation in heaven, and I don't believe we should have it here on the earth as well. And so we really enjoy the variety that God has given us and the uniqueness of working with different cultures. And we are in Hawaii, which is called the Crossroads of the Pacific, and we are at a place where we can influence missions throughout the Far East and that area, the Pacific Ocean area. And so God has given us a great privilege and opportunity to work with missionaries and for our people there in the islands to reach back home into their home areas as well and to see people get saved. And then God just brings a lot of people through. We have many tourists that come through and many people there temporarily, and we've seen them saved. Just recently, one of the mothers of one of our families, one of our ladies whose husband's in the military, came out to visit. She's the wife of a Presbyterian pastor, and she came out to see her daughter, and while she was there in Hawaii, she got saved and baptized. And went back and told her husband, we need something better than this. And so we had a Presbyterian chaplain got saved last year. It's just unique what God is doing and the doors that God is opening up. And we just recently, in the beginning of 2010, moved into our own building. For many years, we rented a building for $16,000 a month. And that was considered cheap. And we were told that we could not stay there. And so we had to find a new building. We looked 3 years to find a new location, and talk about frustration. And I kept telling the people in the church, you need to have faith. You need to have faith and trust in God. And I'd go home and say, God, what are you doing? And I got mad at God. I'll be honest with you. I got mad at God. I said, God, I've been here serving you, building the church, doing your work, and you won't even give us a building. And we looked at building after building after building. We thought this would work and that would work. We were down to within one day of closing on a building, and it just fell apart. And I just got angry with God. And I'm thankful for a very patient, loving God, and faithful to us even when we're not faithful to him. And then he provided us this building. We bought about $3.5 million worth of buildings for $665,000. It's an amazing testimony to the grace of God. Now, we leased the land, which is common in Hawaii, and it's a $14,000 a month lease, and our payment on our a 10-year loan for our buildings is $6,000 a month, but we own two buildings, and the building next door is rented out, and they pay us $9,000 a month to rent that building. And then not only that, we have a parking garage, which we're the only church in Hawaii to have a parking garage, and we rent out 12 parking spots a month for another $1,000 a month. And so God is just good, And, oh no, we actually rent out 14 because we also rent two to Papa John's Pizza next door for 50 pizzas a month. And so that's a great deal. So we're really excited about what God is doing. I will mention that we are looking for interns for the summer if you're interested in coming out to work with us. I'll guarantee you this, you come to Hawaii, you will work and you will work hard. You ask Drew, and we're developing an even stronger program than from the time that he was there. And so if you are interested, it's not a vacation. Hawaii is paradise, but it's paradise lost. And you will come out there, you will not spend much time on the beach. You'll spend a lot of time on the street. And you'll be out there doing a lot of work. But a great opportunity. If you're a missions major, this is an opportunity to go to a mission field without having to get a visa, without having to get a passport, and without having to learn a new language. And you can experience a different culture and different people and have an opportunity to reach out. As I said, in our church, 30 different nationalities. So getting to meet different cultures and different people. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Let's bow for prayer. Father, we pray as we open up your word today that you would open the hearts and the lives of these young people. You would help. We pray that you would help them and us to learn how to grow in grace, just to continue to grow in the Lord, no matter what our age is. But as we grow, may we grow gracefully in that opportunity to serve you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to talk today about growing in grace. And our church is a relatively young church because of the military, especially they retire around 40 years old. And so I'm 55 years old and I'm in the top 10% or better of the church. We have what we call our overcomers group and they start at 45 years of age. And in fact, there was one time in our church, we had a picnic that we wanted to have a volleyball game of the Over the Hill gang against the youngsters. And we had to go down to 25 to get the Over Hill game, enough players to do that. And so it's a very, very relatively young church. You don't see a lot of gray hair in our church like you do many churches here in the mainland. And I really am thankful for those that are older in our church to bring in their wisdom and their experience. You know, I am an independent fundamental Baptist, and I'm not ashamed of that fact, and I'm proud of that as well. And I realized something else recently, though. Not only am I an independent fundamental Baptist, but I'm old. And I just realized that the other day. I looked in the mirror and said, "Who is that guy looking back at me?" Now, I will tell you, I am encouraged by being here today because I look over at Brother Scoville. And Brother Scoville was at Pillsbury Baptist College when I was there as a student back in the 70s, and I thought he was old back then. And so I figure if he's still going, that's encouraging to me. There's hope for me still here in that way as well. The Bible says that we're to grow old gracefully. And to continue to grow in grace as well. In Job chapter 15 and verse 10, it says, "With us both are both the gray-headed and the very aged men, much elder than my father." I remember when I first went there to Hawaii, I was 22 years old or so, and I was a young man. And then we started the church and relatively young pastor. And I remember how as people come through, the military guys would come in and we'd ask them, "Well, how old are you? When were you born?" And I remember the first time one of them said, "Well, I was born in 1973, and that was the year that I graduated from high school." And then I remember one said, "I was born in 1979. That's the year I graduated college." And then I remember when the first one said that I was born in 1980, and that's the year my children were born. And I remember them looking at me and saying, "You're old enough to be my father." And I thought, well, that's getting old. I'm starting to get up there and everything. And then I remember one day, one guy looked at me after he heard all those, and says, "You're older than my dad." And that made me feel even older yet. But growing old is not necessarily a bad thing. It's a part of life. It's a part of what we do. And in fact, one of the things that I have learned and one of the things the Bible teaches is that the older you get, the better looking you get. Now, this is Bible, folks, and I know you're a Bible college, so you get this down, right? You young people, you think you're good looking. Bible says you're not. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 29, it says, "The glory of the young men is their strength, and the beauty of the old men is the gray head." And so you look around you, young men, you are ugly compared to people like Brother Scoville and Brother Spencer and Dr. Sorrent. You are ugly compared to people like Brother Johnston. Well, maybe the rest of them. But anyway, the Bible says the beauty of the old men, and says we're the good looking ones in this group here. But it talks about the strength of the youth. It says, the beauty of the old men, but the strength of the youth. Turn over your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2 and look at verse number 14. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 14. 1 John 2, 14 says, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. The Bible says that your strength, young men and young ladies here today, that your strength is your youth. And here's the challenge I want to give you, is if you can't beat it now, you won't do it later. If there's some sin in your life, you're saying, well, I'll get this later on. As I get older, as I get married, as I get on into the ministry, I'll do better with this. If you can't do it now in the strength of your youth, it does not get easier when you get older. You see, you develop these habits in your life, and those habits are harder and harder to break or harder and harder to establish as you get older in life. And this is the time that God says is the time of your strength. And this is the time right now when you need to get victory over that sin. And this is the time that what you need to establish those habits in your life. This is the time that you need to make those changes, because it does not get easier as you get older. I talk to young men and say, well, you know, when I get married, I won't have a problem with sexual temptation. If you can't handle it now, it doesn't get better when you get married. That doesn't change anything. You're still going to battle with those things. You need to realize that the strength of your youth is the time that you need to get those victories. The strength of your youth is the time that you need to establish those habits and make those changes in your life. Go over to Psalms chapter 119. Psalms chapter 119 and verses 9 and 11. Very familiar verses to you. I'm sure you memorized these very early on. Psalms 119 verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Notice it says a young man. See, again, it's in your youth that you need to cleanse your way. It's in your youth that you need to start making those changes. Don't wait until you get older. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I remember in Bible college thinking, well, when I get to this point, when I get to that point in my life, and you know what? It's not when you get to that point. It is now that you need to make those changes. It is now that you need to establish those habits of devotions, of Bible study, of memorizing scripture, of just whatever it is. This is the time that you've got to establish habits. You think you're busy during midterms? Wait until you get into the ministry. I've always thought it's going to get better. I was in college. I thought it would get easier when I get out of college. And I was a youth pastor. I thought it would be easier when I become a pastor. It doesn't get easier. It gets harder. And this is when you need to establish the habits. This is when you need to start establishing those habits for the rest of your life. You need to abide in prayer. In John 15:7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. I am a go-getter. I'm the type of person that wants to get out there and do something. And when I first started out in the ministry, I thought it all depended on me, that I had to do it all. The older I get, the more I realize it's prayer and it's not me. The older I get, the more I realize it's God and not me. And now is the time to learn to pray. I'm glad to see young people who are busy. I'm glad to see young people who are go-getters. I'm glad to see young people that are out there doing something for the Lord. But don't get to this habit of where you think you've got to do it and you do it without God's power in your life. And you need to realize that now is the time to establish the habit of prayer and realizing that I need to depend upon the power of God, even though I have the strength of my youth. Because the strength of your youth is going to leave you as you get older. But God will never leave you nor forsake you. And you need to realize that you have to establish that habit now. We need to abide. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and look at verse number 11. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 11. Paul is here in prison. He's writing his swan song. He's asking about a few people. He says in verse number 11, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he's profitable to me for the ministry. You need to abide and not quit. You need to stay faithful. You know, I've seen so many Bible college students who start out in Bible college and then they quit. And Mark, he quit. When he went out with Paul to begin with, you know, you remember the story, Acts chapter 12, Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 15. They took him as their servant. They took him to go and be their gopher, to go for this and go for that. And he went on that missionary journey with them, and then he got discouraged and he got homesick and decided that I can't do this. And he went back home and he quit. Now, praise God, later on he got things right and he was profitable again. But you know what? What bothers me is here's a young man in the strength of his youth, and he could not keep up with Paul. Some of you know Logan Fields. He's now our singles pastor at our church, and he's doing all right. I just every once in a while take a baseball bat, whack him in the head, knock a few brain cells loose, and he does a good job. And Logan is one of those kind of guys that's an enthusiastic fellow. He's got all kinds of great ideas, and he just is going all the time. But listen to what I told Logan. I told Logan this. I said, Logan, I will work harder, I will last longer, and I'll do more than you do. And until you beat me out, you haven't made it yet. I said, I'm 55 years old. You're 21 years old, 22 years old. I said, I can outwork you. I can outlast you. And you know what? It's true. I'm there before Logan's there at church. I'm there after he's gone. Now, you know Logan. Logan's a hard worker. Logan's a go-getter. He's not somebody's lazy just going to sit around. But I told him, this is the time you need to get to work. You're young. And if you can't keep up with it, you ought to be embarrassed because look at me. I'm an old man. You see, don't be a quitter. Don't quit. You keep at it. You stay with it. You stay faithful. Do it while you can. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1 says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You see, you need to realize that now is the time. You know, it's not going to get easier, folks. It gets harder as you go through life. And now is the time you've got to realize. I preached a message to our singles. I said, you've got more money now than you'll ever have again in your life. Now, some of you are thinking, well, you haven't seen my bank account. But see, I don't care how much you earn. As a single person, you got more money than you will when you married. I may have earned more later on in life, but I also had more responsibilities. I had less money to spend. You got more time now than you'll ever have again in your life. Some of you are thinking, you don't understand how busy they keep you here at college. You don't understand how much studying I have to do. You know what, folks? No matter how busy you are and how much studying time, it takes a lot more to prepare a message. It takes a lot more to pastor a people. It doesn't get easier. It doesn't get less. And if you can't keep up with it now, then what's going to happen when the real trials come? What's going to happen when the real test of time comes? You need to realize that now in the strength of your youth is when you need to be doing what God wants you to do and to be faithful to that. In John chapter 21, verse 18, it says, verily, verily, I said to thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. You know, there's going to come a day that I can't keep up with. There's going to come a day I can't do it. There are people are going to have to help me to do it. And I see that around me and some of the men, the great men of God that I looked up to as a young man, but now they need help. They can't do it. They can't keep that pace up anymore. But you're in the strength of your youth, and this is the time that you ought to be doing what you're going to do for God to establish those habits in your life. Go over to Job chapter 12. Book of Job, chapter 12, and look at verses 12 and 13. Job, chapter 12, and verses 12 and 13, it says, with the ancient is wisdom, and a length of days of understanding. With him is wisdom and strength, he hath counsel and understanding. You see, there's with the age comes understanding. The gray hair, you know, I've got gray hair now, and I've earned every one of these gray hairs. I've earned every one of these wrinkles on my face. I've earned every one of these hairs that have taken off and gone somewhere else. You know, that I've earned all of that. And gray hair is wisdom. Our job is to teach the next generation how to have real strength. Go over to Psalm 71. Psalm 71, I'm thankful for the faculty and the staff here at the school. I'm thankful for those that God has given you to share the wisdom and the understanding that they have gained through life. Some of you may have been here a couple of years ago when I preached out of the book of Proverbs and talked about the difference between knowledge and wisdom and understanding and instruction. And you need to realize that what you're getting here is you're getting knowledge, but that doesn't mean you have wisdom. Wisdom in the Bible is a word that means a skill. There's a lot of people that know how a car works, but they don't know how to work on a car. And wisdom is knowing how to take the knowledge that I have and to use it. I know a lot of people that know more about the Bible than I do, but don't know how to live the Bible. And then there's instruction. The word instruction comes from the same word as discipline. And there's a lot of people that know how a car works, and they know how to work on the car. But the problem is they don't have the self-discipline to do the work on the car that they're supposed to. I've talked to a lot of people that know you're supposed to change your oil about every 3,000 to 5,000 miles, and they've now got 35,000 miles on their car and they haven't changed their oil. You see, they know they're supposed to do it. They know how to change the oil. They just never get around to the discipline of doing it. And there's some of you in this room that you know what you're supposed to do. You know how to do it. The problem is you don't have the discipline to do it. And then understanding, you just taking it to the next level. It's where I can take what I've learned in one area and apply it to something new. There's a lot of things they never taught me in Bible college. And I used to say, man, if I was having a Bible college, I'd make sure there's a class on this, and I'd make sure there's a class on that, and I'd make sure there's a class on the other thing. But you know what the problem is? There's just not enough time for all the classes you need. This college cannot prepare you for everything that you're going to face. I have dealt with things in Hawaii that you just don't deal with anywhere else in the world. And the only way that I'm able to deal with them is through understanding, through taking the knowledge that I got in college and other places and taking the wisdom that I've learned through experience and taking the discipline of instruction and putting that all together and then saying, no, if it worked over here, then I can take the same principles and I can apply them. It'll work over here. But your teacher's job is to teach the next generation. Psalm 71 and verse number 18, it says, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. What your desire of your faculty and your staff at this school is to show to you the power of God that they have seen in the last generation so you can take it on into the next generation. But it's not automatic. Go over to Job chapter 32. Job chapter 32. I'm sorry to say that having gray hair, having age does not automatically mean you're smart. Job chapter 32 and verse number 9, it says, great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. The word great here means great in age. People that are old, age doesn't necessarily always equate to wisdom. Look at verses 6 and 7. And Elihu, the son of Bacreel the Buzite, answered and said, I am young and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and just not show you mine opinion. I said, days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. You see, he said, I'm young, you're old. You're the one supposed to have the wisdom. You're the one supposed to be teaching me. I'm not supposed to be teaching you. Now listen, understand that we can learn from you. And we want to learn from you. You remember when Peter got up in Acts chapter 2 and he said, your young men shall dream dreams and have visions. And we need this next generation. We have lost touch as older men with the younger generation and the world around us. And I'm thankful for young men who come in with new ideas. Logan, I tell Logan, I'm going to cut him off my email. Almost every day I get at least 5 or 6 emails from Logan. He says, Pastor, we could do this. And Pastor, we could do that. And Pastor, how about this for an idea? And Pastor, how about that for an idea? And I'm about ready to cut that boy off. But I'm also thankful for him because he's got fresh and new ideas. And we've got to realize that we've got to have fresh and new ideas and new ways to reach this new generation. Not new doctrine, not new standards, but fresh and new ideas to get out to this generation to reach them. And we need young men and young women with vision. But we also need to realize that age brings wisdom. I preached a message a while back in my church. It's called Thumbs. And I based it upon that verse in the Bible where the king had all those thumbs that he cut off the people he conquered. And I talked about how the fact that our thumb is what makes us unique as human beings. God created us not only with a brain that's better than most animals. There's a few exceptions I've met in my career. But we're smarter than the animals. But one of the reasons that we are unique is because we have this opposable thumb. And you know what? You need in your life, you need opposition. Because see, by taking this opposable thumb, I can reach down here and I can pick up this glass of water. And I can take a drink. Now, if I did not have an opposable thumb, imagine trying to pick up this glass right now without my thumb. I can do it, but it wouldn't be very easy. I can't get a grip on this glass very easily without my thumb. I need opposition. And what you need in your life is you need opposition. My thumb does not fight with my fingers. My thumb opposes my fingers to help them to get a grip on things. Now, you are the thumb. You need four fingers in your life. The first finger you need is you need the pointer finger. You need someone in your life that's not afraid to get their bony finger in your face and tell you you're doing wrong. You need somebody who's not afraid to say to you, you know, you and your girlfriend, you need to back off a little bit from each other. You need somebody who's not afraid to say to you, you know what, you need to quit playing around and start studying more. You need somebody who's not afraid to say to you, you know what you're doing is wrong. You need a pointer in your life. Someone who's not nice. That's not afraid to say what you don't want to hear. Secondly, the second finger is the biggest finger. I call that the patriarch. I'm going to do another alliteration here. The patriarch. And the patriarch is somebody who's older than and wiser than you are. You need people in your life that have been there and done that. You need somebody older and wiser than you to give you counsel, to give you advice. The third finger is your ring finger. And I call that the partner. For those of us who are married, that's our wife or our husband. For those that are not married, that's your parents. Let me tell you something, young people. If you're not married, let me tell you this. Your parents are not your enemy. Just because they oppose you sometimes, they're not your enemy. What they're trying to do is they're trying to help you to get a grip on life. And married people, your spouse is not your enemy either. Just because they oppose you doesn't mean they're against you. It means they're trying to help you to get a grip on the issues you're dealing with. And then the little finger represents your peers. And remember this, the little finger represents the peers. That's because your peers are just as stupid as you are. It's amazing to me when people will go, young people will go to all their friends for advice instead of going to, you remember Rehoboam? Remember how when he took over as king, the old men came and gave him advice. He says, let me think about it. Went and talked to his friends and they gave him opposite advice. And who did he listen to? He listened to his friends and that's what got him in trouble. Lost part of the kingdom because of it. What was he doing? He was listening to people just as stupid as he was. You've got no, they've got no more life experience than you. They've got no more training and education than you, no more knowledge than you do. Don't listen to them above the others. You know, I very rarely pick up something with just my thumb and my little finger. I very rarely do that. And you are crazy if you listen to your little finger and use that instead of the whole hand. See, when we pick things up, we use all of our fingers. In the multitude of counselors is wisdom. But notice in there, you've got to have the pointer, the patriarch, the partner, as well as the peers. You do need to listen to your friends. It's been a long time since I was a student in college. It's been a long time since I was a young man. It's been a long time since I've been in that place in my life. And you need to ask, how are you handling this? And how are you dealing with this? But at the same time, listen to the wisdom of age, because that's why God has given it to you. Over to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Look at verses 23 and 24. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. It says, he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 42 children of them. Do not make fun of a bald-headed person. Now you're saying, well, Pastor, you look like you're getting there. Is that why you're so worried about it? No, I'm not ashamed of my bald head. In fact, I'll tell you what. Those of us with bald heads are the most godly spiritual people in this room right now. Right, Brother Burris? That's right. In fact, I think Brother Burst may be one of the most godly men in this room. You can tell that. And it's biblical again, folks. It's Bible. Go over to Psalms chapter 40. This is Bible. This is not me saying. This is not Brother Burst saying. This is the Bible. Look at Psalms chapter 40 and look at verse number 12. Psalms chapter 40 and verse number 12. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Mine iniquities are more than the hairs of my head. So as I look around this room, people like Brother Spencer, he's much more of a sinner than Brother Burris is. Now, some of you shave your head. That's artificial spirituality. It's not real. The Bible talks about in Psalms chapter 25, it talks about the sins of our youth. This is the time that you need to take the long look backwards. Let me give you a challenge. I want some of you right now, I want all of you right now to imagine being as old as I am. I'm 55 years old, I'll be 56 in November. Some of you are thinking, I can't imagine being that old. One of the things I tell the people in my church, I say to my teenagers, no child can imagine being 55 years old. They can't. But you know what they can't imagine being? A teenager. And I tell my teens, you have a great responsibility because they want to be like you. I tell my singles that the teen's whole goal in life is not to be 55 years old like me. It's to be a young adult. I tell my young marrieds that my young adult singles, they want to be like the young marrieds. They want to be like the next generation. Not this. I'm a lot different. And very few people think about, at your age, think about being in their 50s. You just want to graduate from college. But let me tell you, do what I call this. You need to go and take the 20-year backward look. The 20-year backward look. I want you to step forward in your life 20 years from now. Imagine where you're at, who you are, what you're like, and look back at the person you are today. Are you going to be happy with him or her? You know what, folks? As a 55-year-old man, I would like to go back to my 18-year-old self and smack me. I'd like to go back there and I'd like to just reach up and say, get your act together. I'd like to go back to the kid that was in Bible college and say, pay better attention, learn some more. You see, what we fail to do is we fail to take the 20-year backward look. I tell my young people, I tell my teenagers, I said, now, go forward 20 years. Do you want a teenager like you? Because that's what you're going to get if you act like this. You're going to sow what you reap. Reap what you sow. But you see, we have to understand, we got to take that backwards look. The sins of our youth. You're old enough to know better. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. It's time to grow up. But you're young enough to do what's right. Paul said to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. Now, how you say, I hear that quoted by young people all the time. But they don't go on to the rest of it where it talks about to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, to meditate upon these things. You want no man to despise your youth? Then become the right kind of man. And the way to become the right kind of man is through the Word of God and applying the Word of God in your life. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. As I get older, it's not about being sinless, but it is about trying to sin less. Now, sometimes I wonder if the reason that I sin less now that I'm older is because I just can't keep up with it anymore. Or if it's maybe I've learned some wisdom. And the Bible says, in your youth, learn how to sin less. In your youth, learn how to do what's right. You remember the woman that was taken in adultery? Jesus said, you that have the no sin, stone her first. And who are the first ones to walk away? The older folks. You know why? Because the older I get, the more I realize how wicked I truly am. The older I get, the more dumber I get because I realize that I don't know it all anymore. Another thing about being old is you have less enemies. At least that's what the Bible says. Psalm 69 verse 4 says, they that hate me without cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. You'll find as you get older, you're going to get enemies. You're going to be people who don't like you for serving the Lord, for doing what God wants you to do. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says that that we are to make sure, turn over there. 1 Peter chapter 3, I was going to quote it, but my mind just went blank on that. So let's go over there. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil as you as evildoers, they may by be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Here's the thing. When I look back at my life when I was younger, and I probably deserved a lot of my criticism. What I'm hoping is I get older, I don't necessarily deserve that criticism as much anymore because I'm learning, I'm getting wiser. That's my goal, that's my desire. Nobody's going to like what you do. Especially if you take your stand for the Lord. But make sure it's what you're doing for God that gets you in trouble, not what you are doing. God restores that which was taken away. God blesses us despite ourselves. The Bible says, go over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 30. One of the things, the Bible says in Matthew 10, 30, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. I looked it up on Google and it says that the average person has about 50,000 hairs. I think the Lord likes me better because it takes shorter time to count my hairs than it does yours. I figure I'm down to about 25,000 or less. But you know, when I was younger and first realized that I was getting that receding hairline, it bothered me. And then I realized that the reason that God was doing that is because I was so much better looking than everybody else. He wanted more of my face to be seen. But the truth is this, folks, sometimes people will make fun of my hairline and make fun of the way I look in one way or the other. I remember when I was younger, your age and younger, I look in the mirror and I try to make myself look good because I wanted the girls to like me. Now I look in the mirror and I think, I don't have to do that because my wife already loves me. I don't have to make her love me. Now, I try to look the best I can because she loves me. I've learned finally that I don't have to make God love me because God made me the way I am. He loves me. And when you accept this is how God made you, then God can start using you because He made you for His glory. And He says even the foolish things of this world confound the wise and can bring glory to God. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32 says, Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, the gray hair, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God and thy Lord. Somebody once said to me one day, we're going through a walkway, and he stepped back to let me go through first. He said, Age before beauty. I looked at him and said, Well, you lose in both categories. But we are to show respect to the elderly and to those that have earned that respect to the life that they've lived. But respect is just not automatic. It is earned. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31 says, The hoary head is a crown of glory and is found in the way of righteousness. I want to live my life in a way that I, like Paul, can come to the end of my life and I can say that I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. And young people, you need to live your life in a way that you can look back and say, thank God for what He's done. I'm coming down to the end of my life. I hope to serve God for many years to come. But I know the truth is there's going to come a point where I can't do what I'm doing and I'm going to have to turn it over to somebody else. And I'm at a point where I'm looking back at how I live my life and how I've served God. And I don't want to have regrets. I want to know that I've done what God has called me to do, to be faithful to the Lord. I want to be an example for Him. He said in Titus chapter 2 that the older men to teach young women how to love their... the old men to teach the young men how to be godly men, how the young older women teach young women how to love their husbands and to love their children and to be good, godly examples. We need to live a life that sets a pattern. We need to live a life that teaches others as well. So I want to challenge you today in the beauty of the old man. I want to challenge you to look around at these people that are teaching you in these classes. Look at that gray hair. Or look at that bald head. And realize that this is the beauty of Ambassador Baptist College. And what they are trying to do is they are trying to teach you while you're in the strength of your youth, do it right. Don't miss this opportunity. Do it now. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we pray that You would use this message to challenge these young people. We pray that You would help them to realize that You've brought them here to learn. I pray that these little thoughts that we've shared with them today would help them. Pray that You'd help them to get a grip on the issues of life. Some of them are right now struggling with things. Habits. Bad habits. Or not good habits. And now in the strength of their youth is when they need to change those habits. It doesn't get any easier later on. Lord, I pray that You'd help them to learn the wisdom that's being taught to them. So that they don't have to learn the same lessons the hard way like some of us have. I pray, Lord, that You would help them to get a grip on life by seeking counsel. The opposition that will help them to think through things and to do better. I pray that you'd help them, Father, in this time of their youth, so that they would become the men of God that you want them in their old age. Help them to step forward in time and take a 20-year backward look. Be the man or the woman that you want to be now, that they can be proud of 20 years from now. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.